See, it's so good to see you this morning, children. You'd be dismissed for children's church if you'd like to go with Sarah. And if you have your Bibles this morning, I invite you to turn again with me to Exodus chapter 20. We're in the midst of a series on the Ten Commandments. We're calling the Big Ten. And this morning we're going to look at the fourth commandment. I titled this morning's message, Try a Reset. You know, we are so dependent in our world today, in our culture, on technology. And there's something we've learned, and we continually learn over and over and over again, almost on a weekly basis, especially here at the church. Technology is great when it works. Sometimes it don't work. Sometimes those computers freeze up. Sometimes our phones don't want to do what we want them to do. And so when you call, we say, hey, Richard. We call people like Richard that know all kinds of things about computers. Say, oh, no, the computer's frozen. It won't do nothing. What's he say? Reset it. Did you try reset it? Turn it off and turn it back on. And do you know that most of the time, probably 80% of the time, Richard, is it that much, 80%? Maybe 80% of the time we'll say, that fixes the problem. Just turning it off, turning the computer, turning our phone off, turning it back on, fixes the problem. Why does it do that? Because inside those pieces of technology are boards and circuits and all kinds of stuff that give me a headache if I try to think about it and figure it out. I just know I push the power button and the thing comes on, and it does what I need it to do. But shutting it off helps it reset. It clears out the system. It just boots it back up fresh all over again. And most of the time, that fixes whatever the problem is. Sometimes, you know, our tech folks have to help us a little bit deeper. Sometimes we have to take it into the shop. But most of the time, just restarting it, giving it a reset, fixes the issue. Well, I want to suggest to us as we look at this fourth commandment this morning that sometimes our life freezes or gets gobbledygooked, gets frozen. How do we fix it? I think God gives us a good prescription for oftentimes what will help recenter our life, and that's resetting, pausing, remembering this fourth commandment. So let's take a look at it, beginning in verse 8 of Exodus chapter 20. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work. You shall, you nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath and hallowed it. What an important reminder that the Sabbath day is so much more than just going to church. We should go to church. By the way, Scripture says that God's people should gather together. The book of Hebrews chapter 10 says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, which is the practice of the heathen. In other words, lost people, people that don't follow after God, don't show up together. But people who know God and people even who are seeking after God do show up to God's house because they want to know Him and they want to be with Him. And so we find that important admonition. It's interesting that out of all of these Ten Commandments, there's two that are positive. There's 8 that say, do not do such and such. There's only two. This one and the next one that Seth is going to preach about next week are things that we do rather than don't do. And so the first one and the last one that deals with our relationship with God is this. Remember the Sabbath. Well, like all the other commandments, there's been a lot of confusion and a lot of misinterpretation and misapplication of this command. What exactly is it that God is talking about and asking His people to do? But God knows, because He created, He built us, He made us. He knows that if we keep going 7 days a week, if we keep running all the time, all the time, all the time, we're going to break. And He knows that we need a reset on a regular basis. And there were special seasons throughout Israel's year that they paused, and they were special days. Festivals and feasts that they kept. We have similar things in church today. Easter and Christmas would be among those lists. And certainly we, during those seasons, we tend to be at church a little bit more often, and we think about God maybe a little bit more often. And those times of year and those seasons are important. But God knew that we didn't just need those seasons every couple months. We needed something every single week. This is probably one of the, as far as it relates to our relationship with God, probably one of the easiest ones to keep or to understand and know what we're supposed to do. But we sure do have a hard time keeping it the way that God intends for us to keep it. You see, by the time of Jesus, this commandment had become, don't do the washing on Sunday, don't cook, don't walk more than just, you know, a little ways, and all these, much more rule than what God said to do. And that's human nature, by the way. We always tend to make things more difficult and more involved. A lot of times than what God necessarily did. And so by the time of Jesus, there were, you know, as you read the Old Testament, there's probably about 300 laws in the Old Testament. But by the time of Jesus, there were volumes and volumes and volumes of laws that they had taken these big 10 and the others that God gives throughout Scripture and compiled it and expanded it and expanded it and expanded it and expanded it to the point it was much more than what God intended for it to be. Our misunderstanding of this fourth commandment is due in somewhat in part to our different culture and the way that this verse is translated in English. We need to understand that God doesn't intend for us to work. And by the way, this commandment helps remind us of the value and the importance of work and, you know, having things to do. But it also reminds us who gives us that work. The things that we have to do, whether it's going to the office or going to a job, or whether it's, you know, we're retired and so we're able to do more of what we set our own schedule, and yet God has work for us to do. As long as we're above dirt, there's work that God has for us to do. Our ultimate and final rest comes when our body is lowered into the ground, but it's not that we stay in that ground. We're not there anymore. We go to heaven. And our rest is being able to spend eternity in the presence of the Almighty and worship Him and not to have to worry about the frailties and the awfulness and the evil and the fallenness of this world. That's ultimate rest. But God, because He created us again, knows that we need not only physical rest, But we need a day where we can not concentrate on the things of this world, but concentrate solely on God. Because God understood, and we, you know, we say we would agree with the statement that I'm going to say in just a minute, but we really don't live by it. I'd say, yes, our life needs to be built around God, and God needs to be at the center of our life. Nobody here in this building would disagree with that. But in practice, we don't do that very well. None of us do. Why? Because we like being in charge. Part of being human nature is we are selfish, and we like being in charge. We like things our way, and we want what we want, when we want, and how we want. But guess what? God says your way and what you want and when you want is best. The Bible says God's way is what's best, and God's ways are much higher and much different than our ways. So, well, we'll look different, preacher. If we live that way, we'll be different. Exactly. That's what the point is. God said, you know what? Yes, you have no other gods before me. I'm God alone, and you worship me, and you don't bow down to created things and things you carve and things in nature. But you take time once a week to center your life around me. And so when our English translations say, you shall do no work, and your children shall do no work, and your servants shall do no work, your cattle shall do no work, foreigners in your land shall do no work, it didn't mean that everything just stopped and everybody just sat and did nothing for a day. Rather, it would be better, and it gets the idea that no customary vocational work should be done on the Sabbath day. In other words, we shouldn't make practice of going to the office on a Sabbath day. If we're working at the office, it's not a Sabbath day, is it? It's a work day. But rather, I think the intention of this command is to help us refocus and reprioritize our life. And so, resetting. The first thing that we need to reset is our focus. God said, listen, be, you know, busy about doing your vocation, whatever it might be, and taking care of your family and all those things. Spend 6 days of the 7 days of the week doing that. Now, did he expect that, and he said, all right, you can forget about me on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, but think about me on Saturday? Was that his intention? Absolutely not. His intention was that our life is centered around God, and so we are spending time with God every day. As we go to work, as we're in the office, as we're doing whatever work God has given us to do, as Paul says in Colossians 3, that we do it as to God, not unto man. So God's with us wherever we go. We know that. But God says, listen, on this day, on this Sabbath day, I want you to set it apart just for me. Now, that doesn't mean that we just, again, just have church, although I think having church on it is important, that we need to do that on a regular basis. It's not just for praying, it's not just for, but it's about letting our bodies, yes, rest. You know, Sunday afternoon naps are wonderful, you know, and we appreciate that. Leslie and I enjoy that after we eat lunch on Sundays, and being able to take a little nap. And so there's rest for our bodies that day. There's worship. But what did he say? He said, you're supposed to remember the Sabbath. and keep it holy. Holy simply means to be set aside for a godly purpose. That being set apart and having something special that we need to recognize on an entire day that God is mighty important in our life. We need to focus just on Him and say, you know what, God, show me and how to serve you and speak to my heart and help me better serve you. And when we spend an entire day doing that, it helps the rest of it go well. Being a pastor, I don't miss a whole lot of Sundays because I'm on, you know, the golf course or something like that. Occasionally do miss. If I miss, it's most likely because I'm sick. But when I miss, my week, the following week, tends not to go very well. It tends to, just because things are disheveled and... Now, partly that's because I'm sick, and so I don't feel good. But partly it's because I've missed spending time with God in God's house and with God's people. Now, when you're homesick, you can still worship, and you can even join us virtually, you know, on Facebook or YouTube, but that's not the same as being here. There's just something special about being together as God's people. So that needs to be an important part of our Sabbath. But also perhaps we need to focus and see Sunday as an opportunity to get the focus off of ourselves, which if we're honest, that's the focus most of all of the week. It's about us and what we've got to do and our schedule. But God knows best for us if we take some time each week to set a day aside where we leave that behind. And we focus on Him and the things He would have us to do. And so maybe on Sundays we see it not just as a day of rest and a day to go to church, but we see it as an opportunity for us to maybe be able to focus not only on God, but on others, which we tend not to do through the week because we're so busy. And God, by the way, I think part of the reason, I think part of the reason why God kind of gave some additional instruction, He could have just said, keep the Sabbath. That's not what He did. He went on and He said, not only do you keep it, but your children keep it, your servants keep it, your livestock keep it. Why did He say that? Because He knows how our human mind works. And He would know Farmer Bill would say, all right, it's the Sabbath day. I can't do any work. But if I'm out on a wagon and the ox is the one pulling the wagon, well, I'm not really doing any work. Or if I send Junior out to do, well, I'm not doing any work, so I'm keeping the Sabbath. And so God said, you know what? He gave us some further instruction to remind us. But it's not that we're not to have any physical activity or things like that on the Sabbath. I think Douglas Stewart in his commentary on Exodus gave this good point. If one were physically active in pursuit of service to God and or godly service to others, it would be entirely consistent with the Sabbath law, to work hard at such sorts of activities, and even to be reasonably worn out by them at the end of the day. And here's the important part, I think. To love God's not to have a lazy day one day a week. Rather, it's to focus on doing God's will, especially on one day a week. To worship, learn, study, care, and strengthen the Spirit. How that would change our lives, how it would change our church and our world. He said, you know what? Yeah, on Sunday, you know what? I'm going to let Sunday be a day. Now, we ought to be kind and merciful and gracious all the time, every day. That ought to be part of who we are, because that reflects God's character. But what if we say, you know what? I'm going to use Sunday for worshiping God, and that is an important part of the Sabbath, I think. And resting, yes, that's, I think, an important part of the Sabbath. But the Sabbath day is to be a holy day. And I want to suggest to us that we show ourselves, we remind ourselves that we are holy and that we belong to the Lord as we serve and minister to others. When you're helping someone else, when you're extending grace and you're extending mercy to someone else, even on Sunday, and maybe especially on Sunday, what a great reminder it is that, hey, listen, it's not about me. And that's really what this commandment is to help us remember and to focus on. It's not about us. It's to remind us we are not God. But there is a God that is very real and very alive and wants to be involved in your life and wants to be involved in your world. But oftentimes we're so busy that we program God right out of the equation. And so God says, you know what, you need to reset your focus. You need to understand it's not about getting a big balance in the checking account or catching some big account at work or getting a promotion or being able to buy a big car or those things are not what it's about. There's nothing necessarily wrong with any of those things. But when those things take our focus away from God, you better believe that they're wrong. And so by remembering the Sabbath, and it's not just remembering, hey, I'm supposed to go to church for us in our context. It's saying, all right, I am God's. I belong to Him. How am I going to live that out? And part of how we do that is we focus on Him and His work rather than on ourselves. Secondly, we not only need to reset our focus, but we need to reset our example. We understand that people are watching, and if you have neighbors that are lost or unchurched and they know you and they know you're a Christian, they may not have the first day, they may never seen a Bible, opened the Bible, read a Bible verse. But they're watching you because they know what they think a Christian's supposed to look like. And even the world knows Christians are supposed to be at church on Sunday morning. And so when your car sits in the parking lot on Sunday morning, what does that tell your lost neighbor? Church isn't really all that important. Or when they know that rather than going to church, you're out in the deer stand. Or doing something else. What message does it send to your children? Can I tell you that if you don't set the example of keeping Sabbath and showing your children that the Lord is important and then they need to follow Him every day of their life, and you don't set the example for taking a Sabbath and having days where you focus on God and others rather than yourself, they won't have it either. Children, whether we like it or not, and probably all of us at some point in some way in our life has seen our mom or our dad come out in us. And it's probably shocked you the first time that you say, oh my goodness, when did it happen? I became my mom, or I became my dad. Ah, the horror. But it happens to all of us because children become, most of the time, like the example that was set for them by their parents, unless somebody else that has significant influence in their life sets a different example for them. And so part of this is saying, hey, listen, we need to reset our existence. So it's not just that mom and dad keep the Sabbath. The entire family keeps the Sabbath. And not only does the family keep the Sabbath, but the employees keep the Sabbath. And not only do the employees keep the Sabbath, but those who are visiting keep the Sabbath. A reminder to all of us. So we need to reset our example oftentimes. And that's part of what helping and following a Sabbath ritual, routine. Keeping that practice, in other words, helps our life be centered on God. And can I tell you why these four commandments that deal with God are first? Not only because he's most important, but there's a truth that as our relationship with God goes, it affects every other area of our life. And so when your relationship with God is not right, chances are the relationship with your spouse is not right. And the relationship with your children is not right. And the relationship with your business and your coworkers is not right. And the reason is because your relationship with God is not right. Well, how do we fix that? Well, we reset our exam and say, you know what? This one day is not about me. It's not about my family. It's not about my bank account. It's not about my future. It's simply about God. And knowing him and loving him. And helping others do that as well. So not only does it, you know, help in keeping the Sabbath to help refocus or reset our focus. And it helps us to reset our example. But lastly this morning, it helps us to reset our worship. Now, worship is important. It is important and it always has been important for God's people. It was in the Old Testament, it is in the New Testament, and it is today. But read again with me verse 11. It said, he talks about the days of creation. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that's in the earth and in the sea, all that's in them, and rested the seventh day. The Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Hallowed, what on earth does that mean? It simply means made holy. He set it apart. He made it different. And there needs to be a day in your week. For the Christian, it's Sunday most of the time. And for good reason, I think. But there has to be a day every week when we set one day aside and say, this is God's day. Not to go to the extreme of the Jews and say, listen, we're not going to do anything at all on Sunday. You know, we're not going to walk more than a quarter mile, and we're not going to do this, and we're not going to do that. And no, that's not the point. The point is that we've set one day aside and said, today is not about me. Not about my family. It's about the Lord. And so if we're keeping Sabbath, it's not just coming to church. Keeping the Sabbath also means, yes, for that hour, two or three that you're here at church on Sunday morning. Yes, that, you know, it's relatively easy, hopefully, to worship the Lord and think about God on those hours when you're on this campus. Hopefully that's not hard. But the Sabbath day isn't over. He didn't say, give me a Sabbath morning. He said, give me a Sabbath day. And when God says day, he means day. He doesn't mean part of a day. He doesn't even mean most of the day. He means the day. Give it to him. Boy, can I tell you, I think our church, our community, our world would be in a much different place if rather than seeing our Sabbath and our Sunday as a morning obligation, to rather saying, let's use this day to focus on the Lord. It would change us. It would change our church. As we come to worship, we remember that it is not about us. It's not about whether we like the preaching or the message was particularly effective or spoke to us that day, or whether the singing, you know, had songs that we liked, or you know, the piano was too fast, too slow. What, you know, that don't matter. What matters is that God is honored and glorified and lifted up. And so do we get something out of worship? I think the answer is yes, or you wouldn't come. But we have to be reminded regularly, worship is not about us. So when we say, you know what, preacher, I really think we ought to do things. You know what, preacher, I really don't like that carpet. Preacher, I really wish, you know, Seth would sing four songs instead of three songs. Well, you know what? And it's okay to have our preferences and our rathers, but it ain't about you. It's about one, and you're not that one. And I'm not that one. It is about God Almighty who sits in heaven on high. He alone is worthy to be worshipped. And so we need that time where we say, you know what, it's Sunday. This is the Lord's day. I'm His. He's blessed me through the week. And God does bless you through the week. I can tell you, you know and you recognize His blessings a whole lot more when you've set aside a day and you've worshipped Him and you've made it a day of prayer and a day of service, a day that's focused just on Him. Listen, what we concentrate and what we focus on affects us. If you hang around a negative person all the time, guess what? Eventually you're going to become a negative person too. And when you're around people that just complain and, man, nothing's ever right, then you begin to get that perspective too. But when you're around people that worship God and are lifting Him up and trying their best to grow in their relationship and their faith with God, that rubs off on you too. And the truth of the matter is we all need more of it. Some of you need more rubbing off on others than others do, but we all need some more. And so, preacher, what's the point? Well, the point is this, that when our life gets out of control and things get so chaotic and so busy and you know things seem to be constantly just in turmoil and twisting and turning, what do we need? Well, that's an indicator that, hey, listen, you need to get a reset. You need a system restored. And you need it not just once a month. You need it not just once every 6 months. You don't just need it on Christmas and Easter. God reminds us and God says you need it every 7 days. Wow. Who does He think He is? Well, He's the Almighty and our Creator. God created. And I think that's why Moses reminds us that God told Moses to remind the people, listen, I made everything in this world in 6 days. On the seventh day, I rested. And so, God, help us to remember that. Our life will be much less chaotic and out of control when we reset the system and say, you know what, God, on a weekly basis, I'm going to have a Sabbath. Not just a day where I worship you and rest, but a day where I set aside just for you. We have a day like that. We actually have 2 days. One's a little more important than the other for some reason, but that's not the focus of the sermon. But on Mother's Day, we celebrate in May, Mother's Day. We set that aside just for moms. You know, that day we pamper mom, and we, you know, when you're little, you probably made her breakfast in bed. It probably wasn't edible, but she smiled and ate it anyway. You know, we give her flowers, you know, presents, call her. And that's good. We should do that because mothers are very special. Then we have Father's Day that doesn't seem to get quite the attention Mother's Day does, but that's neither here nor there. But do you think if a mother, the only time she hears from her children is Mother's Day, that she really thinks her kids love her? Or that she's important to them? Even though on Mother's Day they say, Mom, you're important and I love you. And that's the only time she hears it. Does she really believe it? Absolutely not. But when Mom hears from us on a regular basis, and we're with her and we do things for her and with her, she knows we love her. And we know she loves us. And I tell you, it's that same with God that, yeah, God does say, you know what, love me and set one day aside, but love him every day. But keep that one day every week apart just for him. And when we keep that day just for him, it affects not only us, it affects our relationships with our spouses, with our children, with the rest of our family, with our coworkers, with people we interact with. Why? Because we've set aside that one day for God and reminded ourselves that we are not the center of the universe. God is. And he's the one that makes the world go round, not us. And we are made for him, by him. And if we live for him and we know him, we're going to go to him one day for an eternal Sabbath where it will be a day of just an eternity of rest. And in heaven, we won't be sitting around. What does Scripture says? We will be worshiping at the feet of Jesus. We'll be casting crowns. We'll be throwing parties and celebrating, you know, lost people coming to know him. So we'll be busy in heaven, but it'll be a place of rest. So God reminds us through this fourth commandment, reset regularly. Let's pray again. Lord, we love you. Thank you for your goodness and your love to us. And Lord, we thank you for this reminder. Lord, that sometimes we need a reset. Maybe there's one here today that they've never trusted in you. Maybe there's one here today that they know you, they're a child of God, they're a Christian. But Lord, their world is in utter chaos. Things don't make sense. Things don't fit together. Things are not going well. And Lord, they wonder and wonder and wonder why. What on earth is going on? And Lord, very clearly it may simply be they need a reset. Lord, help us to regularly set aside time one day a week that's just for you. Speak to our hearts. Help us to be your hands and feet. Help us to be the people you call and desire for us to be. Because you have loved us so much. Yes, things in Jesus. And let's stand together this morning, and God spoke into your heart, and there's a decision you need to make. Today would be a great day. You know what? If you haven't made a regular practice of practicing the Sabbath, today is a great day to start. You got